Morning, church. Great to be back with you. Enjoyed beautiful weather in the Okanagan Valley, out in the mountains of BC, golfing. Enjoying the weather and good friends. And then a meaningful week at General Assembly in Calgary for our denomination. And I'm just going to say this, probably one of the most impactful assemblies I've ever been at a denominational event. And God met us in wonderful and beautiful ways. And it was just incredible to see almost 1,000 official workers and delegates and pastors and international workers, elders and lay leaders from churches, and to see every night just the front full. That first night, there must have been 400 or 500 people responding to what God's Spirit was doing, and it was just a wonderful thing. Appreciated your prayers for that. And then some good hard farm work this past week out at Saskatchewan as my in-laws put me to work. I thought I worked 7 years for Leah. She's the gift that just keeps giving. And it was wonderful. Thank you so much. God's attributes are not isolated traits of his character, but rather they are facets of his unique and total unitary being, aspects of the perfect whole of who he is. We can distinguish between the various attributes of God, but we cannot separate them. We can think about them individually, but they do not exist in isolation from all of the others. So this essential oneness of all who God is, you know, it really jumps out at us as we look at and distinguish between one of the attributes or facets of his entire being. And today we're looking at one called faithfulness, that God is faithful. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, said, God, being who he is, cannot cease to be what he is. And in being what he is, he cannot act out of character with himself. He is himself his own reason for all he is and does. God cannot help but act in ways that are connected and absolutely true to his entire being. Now, why is this important? Well, all of God's actions are consistent with his attributes. They don't contradict other ones. Amy did a wonderful job. I listened online hearing about God's judgment and his justice and his wrath. And that does not happen in isolation from his righteousness, his holiness, his love. You see, they're all totally part of who God is, and we cannot separate those things. His justice and his righteousness and his mercy, his omniscience, all of these work together. And today we're looking at the fact that God is faithful. We're going to see how various attributes are connected with this one, just like all of the others are. They don't exist in isolation. Here's a kick at the cat about trying to describe God as faithful. And I would say that God is reliable and unchanging in his character, relationships, words, and purposes. God is absolutely, totally reliable and unchangeable in who he is, in his love and his relationships and his mercy and his connection with his people, with his words, and with his purposes. We will unpack this as we go today. God's harmonious being, we just talked about this, his oneness. Yes, God is faithful. But we're going to see, as we move along today, we're going to look at some scriptures and you're going to see how they intertwine with one another, that God in this oneness of being, it's like a symphony that every part makes up the whole. We'll look at God's immanence, that is, that he is
always at hand. His love, He is holy. He is truth and He is immutable. That means He does not change in His essential nature. And He is just. All of these always work together as we look at God as faithful. I want to take you through a quick trip through some very key passages of Scripture that outline this. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, near the beginning of your Bibles, God spoke through His people or to His people, and He revealed Himself. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. Yahweh is your God. The faithful God who keeps two things, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. God is faithful in that He keeps His covenants. When He makes an agreement or a covenant, a partnership with someone, He never breaks it. He is always faithful. He keeps His covenants. Even when the other side of us, many of us, we are not faithful all the time to Him, but yet He continues to uphold His part of the bargain. And He keeps steadfast love. It never ceases. That's wonderful news in our world when people break their word all the time. Contracts get broken. Marriages, vows get broken. Promises to kids get broken. Kids' promises to parents get broken. God never breaks His promises or His covenants. And when people who are fickle, who love us or like us one day and don't like us the next, based on if we meet their needs or don't, or if they help prop up their ego somehow, or we fail to do that, God is never like that. Psalm 36, verse 5, the psalmist said, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." He's using this wonderful poetic literature to say that God's faithfulness just extends. It's just always, it's high, it's deep, it's far-reaching. 2 Timothy in the Newer Testament, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul says, if we are faithless, He remains what? Faithful. Aren't you glad? For He cannot deny Himself. For God to not be faithful to you would be to deny who He is in His essential being. He can't. It is impossible for Him. I remember telling this story years ago. I remember when we were in BC, I was up there where we used to live, and I remember this huge trench being dug, and there's this big mound of dirt up on the mountainside. Now it's a new subdivision up by where we used to live, and I was taking my daughter Amanda, she was just little, and we were walking along, and she wanted to walk right up on the top, on the crown of that big pile of dirt. And she's always been a little bit risk-taker and adventurous, and so I said, okay. So we went up there, and I held her hand, and we walked. And sometimes, as we were walking, she would just slide, but I just held her hand and kept pulling her up on top there. And I realized something. What she may have thought was she was hanging on to me, but actually it was me hanging on to her that kept her. And that was a wonderful picture to me. I learned that day about my relationship with God, that so often it's more about God holding me than me holding Him. Because my feet slip, but He doesn't let go. And that is true about God with you. Isn't that good news to you this morning? For if we are faithless, He remains faithful. For He can't deny Himself. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same. We see this immutability that helps His faithfulness. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has not changed from millennia past till the eternity future. God has not changed from there till now. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James chapter 1, verse 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation. There's no shadow due to a change. It's a beautiful picture. But God, there's no variation in Him. One day He's one thing, the next day He's another. Doesn't that create a lot of dissonance and insecurity when you never know how the person dear to you is going to act? God's not like that. There's no variation in Him. He's consistent. And right to the very end, when we see right, just, you know, the last, one of the last pictures of Christ, you know, as He's, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it was called Faithful and True. From beginning to end of the Scriptures, our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. So let's just look at this and unpack this. God's unchanging faithfulness, we see it first in His character. God does not change His essential nature of who He is. And again, I alluded to it earlier, but it is such good news that God does not change who He is. It gives us confidence. It gives us security to come before Him. My parents grew up in the homes of alcoholics, both my mom and my dad. And one of the things that they would, you know, talk to me about grandma and grandpa, or grandpa, both my grandpas, was that some days you never knew how he was going to act. And it breeded a lot of insecurity in him. So some days he'd be nice, and other days dad would come home and work 3 hours, 4 hours. Grandpa would come home and he'd see all the work he'd done, and he'd force him to put everything back, even though it was completely opposite of what Grandpa had asked him to do. Some days he'd cheer for him well, and other days, when they won the provincial baseball finals, Dad hit 3 home runs and a triple, and he got home and Grandpa hit him. Why? He should have had 4 home runs. It just breeds insecurity. You can't get close to someone who you never know or trust how they're going to act. God doesn't change in His character. I love that about our God. And thank God that, you know, I had the good fortune of, my dad was saved early in life and God did such a wonderful transformation. He just didn't pass that on. He could have. Statistics show it usually is. But when my dad became a Christian and God's Holy Spirit came into him, he had some wonderful discipleship and learned about the power of the Holy Spirit to transform a heart. I'm so thankful that I grew up with a father who, though he was big and though he disciplined like our God, he loved richly and gently. And I never had to guess. Yes, does that mean that, you know, God will always be faithful? We understand He's going to be faithful to discipline. He always judges sin. That's true. But if we know that, it's not like He just lets stuff go some days and some days He doesn't. Like sometimes you're watching basketball game in these finals, and some games, you know, these refs call every little bump, and then other games, they're almost wrestling each other to the ground. You never know. But God is faithful. He always judges what's wrong. And He always blesses and encourages, and He always, you know, relents when people respond to Him. His truth remains. He, in His nature, is the same. He is unchanging in His faithfulness in His words. And by His words, there's, I know I was thinking about this, in His teaching. When God gives His word and He teaches us things from the Bible, those things are unchanging. His word remains faithful and true. It does its work. It's alive and active. It is from a faithful and true God, and His Word gives us hope and confidence. His promises. He's always faithful to His promises that He gives in His Word, His words. Some promises are conditional. They always are. God says, if you do this or this and this, then this will happen. So if we don't keep up our end of the bargain, if we don't follow through in our obedience and things like that, you know, some promises are conditional. But He's always faithful to His decrees. When God speaks and wills something to happen, it'll happen. His judgments are true. God is faithful in His words. Aren't you glad God doesn't lie? I'm so glad that we can trust God and His Word. He's faithful in His purposes. God is always faithful to what He is purposed, and especially to the grand purpose of redeeming humanity and redeeming people and redeeming the planet. And His story of redemption, He is committed to His purpose. That through His death and resurrection and ascension, Jesus is all about the creation of this kind of inclusive, loving community of loving persons where God is, you know, its sustainer and its most glorious inhabitant, this community that He's trying to create. It's His desire from the beginning. He wanted to do so in the garden, though He would be at the center of the community of the people of God. But we wrecked it. And then so God chose a people to create them, make a people of His own, to show all of the nations what He was like. And what He wanted to do was to inhabit within His people, to have this community of people of which He would sustain and He would be its most glorious inhabitant where love would flow and it would include all. And it's God was intent what it would be spread to all nations, even back then in the Old Testament. And then finally Christ came Himself and He tried to establish this now. He did in the church, the people of God, where Jesus comes as the center to sustain His people, this community, this inclusive community of loving persons. And He sustains that community and He is that community's most glorious inhabitant. And He wants to grow that community, and He longs for all people of all the world to be a part of that community. And one day it's going to be a reality in the new heaven and the new earth where we will be apart from every nation for those who would respond to Christ to be a part of this community. His purposes never change. Tozer said in his book that the faithfulness of God is a truth of sound biblical theology, yes. But for the believer, it becomes more than that. It passes through the processes of the understanding and goes on to become nourishing food for the soul. You see, if you allow our study of the attributes of God, especially today in this one of faithfulness, purely to be just an intellectual kind of understanding that this is a truth of theology, it is so short-sighted because what it's supposed to do is we need to understand it with our minds, but then let it seep into the water table of our soul to nurture us and to strengthen us. Now, as I looked around during the singing of that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, there were some of you in the room who were singing with a lot more gusto, with eyes closed, and I could tell a lot more going on than some others in the room. And a broad sweep just made me understand that perhaps those of us who are a little older in the crowd sang with greater gusto. Why would that be? And don't give me a shallow answer because that's the music you grow up with. Or somehow it has deeper theology than some of the others, although it has great theology. Here's why. Because many of you in this room, you have journeyed with God through very, very deep waters for a long time. And you know He has always been faithful. And some of the young'uns in the crowd, they've had your experiences, and they're real. But when you've experienced deep, deep, deep waters over extended periods of time, decades, oh, that just does something a little stronger inside of you. I was on the plane last night, and I was at 30,000 feet just flying, and I put my head back, and I just began to think of the faithfulness of God. I can hardly talk about it, because even there in my seat, as my eyes welled up and tears just slowly just dripped down, I was glad I was by myself in my seat. How much the faithfulness of God in my brief 53 years. Some of the hurt and the pain and the loss and the heartache. God is so good. He's so good. And yes, so I thought I'd do something a very little different and personal with you and as we move to the end of our sermon. I want to take out, as I work through some things, I wanted to take out a little passage from my journal. And we're going to look at these passages. Let me walk through it first, and then I want to just do this. Lamentations. This is the prophet Jeremiah. He's a prophet of God's people in the Old Testament. So, okay, we established sort of a theological and a biblical framework about who God is and his faithfulness and how he remains faithful and true, you know, to his character and his words and all of that stuff. Now let's take it a little more personal. Jeremiah had a hard calling. Some would say that he never, ever saw, quote, success in ministry. It was a grind and it was a heartache the whole time. Some of you feel like your life is just that way. It's just a grind. It's hard. And some of you can relate to the words that he sets up this passage with. He says, "My soul is bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. Remember my affliction and my wanderings. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." Isn't that true? Some of you know those discouraging times and how you replay those. He says, "My soul continually remembers it." Just something about human nature. We just go round and round and round and stew over those things that are hurtful or hard. We wrestle with them. And his soul is actually bowed down within him. It's just discouraged, slumping shoulders. But but this I call to mind. You see, the mind is very important. You need to understand the faithfulness of God. You have to. You can't bypass your mind. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I have hope because I call this to my mind and I think about it and meditate on it. And here's what he calls to his mind. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Oh, the faithfulness of God, his steadfast love, his mercies. We see this coming to being. He goes on to say this, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." Now listen, Jeremiah, after writing this, he never really saw success even after that.
So in the midst of his circumstances that did not change, he called this to mind. And therefore he had hope. The faithfulness of God. I wrote in my journal as I was reading this, Lord, thank you for encouraging my heart this morning. Crazy, I didn't think you'd ever speak to me from this book. Oh, how I needed these words from you. My soul too often replays and remembers my affliction. Good friends and people leaving. Frustrations with certain people, family members. Seeing certain people's apathy to Christ. And just to be real, you know, Leah's looming departure for 3 months. Some challenges in my own health and fitness, and my soul too is bowed down. I feel sad or heavy or discouraged. I just had a sense. You know, you get that sense, that low-grade sort of just heaviness in your spirit. Has that ever happened to you? Are you okay with your pastor having that once in a while? But in the middle of all this, you showed me how my mind can influence my soul and my feelings. Isn't that interesting? You see, how we think and what we dwell on, actually then it comes and then seeps its way into its soul, and it can actually change our feelings and how our soul responds. When I focus my mental faculties upon or choose to remember over and over and replay, has an effect on other parts of me. So it says, therefore I have hope, present tense, this outlook, the belief and a change in perspective that gives me motivation, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Isn't it beautiful? I wrote, you know, Lord, you don't shame me for feeling this way. You're not angry with me for that. Your love for me remains consistent. It says his mercies, plural, so many of them. I wish we could, you know, just turn to someone. Let's just take a few minutes. Just turn to someone beside you or some people. And just think about what the mercies of God. He said they're new every morning and they're many. Just share with one another around your circles. If you don't understand or this is new to you, just you don't have to say anything. But just lean to someone and just start naming as many of the mercies of God and the blessings of God that are new every morning. Go ahead. Come on. Let's go for it.
So God has, he just pours out every single day. They're new every morning. You see the faithfulness of God in the fact that the sun rises again. You see his faithfulness that you're sucking air here this morning. He's given you strength and health and life. His presence, his understanding, his patience, his gentleness, his life, his hope, his relationship, his blessings, his word, his sovereignty, all of these mercies and so many more that you shared. Family, friends, they never come to an end. They don't cease. They don't run out. They're not limited. These mercies are new every morning. They're fresh. They're real. And they're consistent. Great. Not just a little bit. Great. Not just average. Great is your faithfulness. He's consistent in his love and his covenant. He never withholds. He's committed to his word. And he never leaves us or forsakes us. As a result of calling all of this to mind, my soul can now say that the Lord is my portion. You ever think about that? The Lord, not some benefit from him, he, the Lord, is my portion. My sufficiency, my strength. He's enough for me. I don't eat 3.5 weeks of portions in one day. He's my portion this day, sometimes this hour. He is my portion. I can't have a portion for you. You have to have your own portion. The Lord in his person is all that I need for this day or this hour. For he satisfies and meets my needs and his help. And therefore, he says, I will hope in him. I will. That's a choice. I will. I will hope in him for this hour, for this day. I will hope in him, the scripture says, not in changed circumstances. His presence, his faithfulness. So he says that the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to those who seek him. He gives himself to them. He draws near. And I was so thankful that as I seek and I read and I pray and I call to you and I move forward with and I listen and I trust, as I wait for you and seek you and want more of you and just lean into you and grow, as I just look for you throughout my day, you draw near and you infuse my soul with hope. It is good that one wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And you know, I left that morning, I spent some time praying and thanking God and worshiping him, and my spirit was lighter. Still same circumstances. But my spirit was lighter. My soul wasn't so bowed down. And it actually turned to praise and worship of the awesome and almighty and the faithful God. So how do we respond to God and his faithfulness? We modeled it here in a little ways. But the first thing is we trust him. Some of you, you don't know God yet in that way. Perhaps you're seeking him. You want relationship with him. I just encourage you. There comes a time when, after all of the exploring and the asking of the questions and the wondering and the musings, there has to come a time when you just say, okay, and you place the weight, all of your weight on him, and you trust him that he is going to be faithful, that he will forgive your sin and give you new life, and he'll come and dwell within you and lead you in life. And he'll begin to transform and change you. And for others in this room, we've made that decision to do that, and we've just committed our lives to Christ. But through the busyness and the cares and the worries of the world, it seems like our souls just get choked out. We lose our trust. You take enough hits in life and hurts in life, and you begin to wonder, God, do you really give a rip? And we quit seeking and stop pursuing. We need to trust Him and His character, that He's for you. His ways aren't always our ways, but we trust in Him. We trust His word. We trust His promise. We trust His faithfulness. Secondly, we worship. That's how you respond to the gratefulness of God. After I worked through that, I mean, I got there. I was pretty egocentric in my quiet time. Do you ever feel that way? I wish I could say it was, oh, no, I wasn't. I was there to seek. No, man, life sucked. I was feeling down. When I went to His word, because that was next, as I was reading through, and I just mulled it over, and God did this work in my heart and life, but at the end of it, I worshiped Him. And last night on the plane, just doing the same thing, just thanking God, praising Him, giving myself to Him yet again, where we sing and we pray and we give of our resources and we devote ourselves and we worship Him for His faithfulness to us. And lastly, we respond when we're faithful to Him. We're faithful to Him. That's how we respond to Him. We choose to be faithful and follow Him with our whole hearts. Now, some say, you're missing, actually, we should be faithful people as well. Well, when David wasn't faithful to his spouse, when he finally was convicted of his sin and challenged for it, he said to this, to you and to you alone, God, have I sinned. So our unfaithfulness, when we don't keep our promises, when we don't follow through, when we don't, you know, when we hurt other people, ultimately, yes, it affects them and it's hurt towards them, but in the ultimate sense, it's actually a hurt and an unfaithfulness to God Himself. We respond by becoming faithful people, because as we live faithfully, as we keep our word, as we keep our vows, as we keep faithful to God, as we live in this world with faithfulness, we reveal to the world what kind of God we follow. So friends, God is incredibly faithful. So let's trust Him. Let's worship Him. And let's live faithfully. So what's the application in yours? What's the Spirit saying to you? There's going to be areas where He's just encouraging you right now. I thank God I'm faithful to that. Because you have been. I know there's areas you've been faithful and you're trusting Him and you're worshiping Him and you're living faithfully. Celebrate that. Yes. But there may be some areas of your life where the Holy Spirit's just kind of just pressing on your soul a little bit or your mind and just saying, here's an area. I need you to trust me in this. You're not trusting me. Maybe it's with a relationship, or maybe it's with your finances, or maybe it's with actually even trusting God. You're not sure you can trust Him because you had a plan as to what it meant to follow Christ, and this is what it was going to look like, or someone sold you a bill of goods that said this is what it's like, and it's not measuring up to that, so you don't know if you can trust God. And maybe There's other ways. Worship him. Maybe there's areas you don't worship or give your life to. And finally, live faithfully. It does the soul good to dwell on the faithfulness of God and respond to him such. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are faithful and true. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Father, for your great faithfulness and your mercy, your steadfast love and your compassion, for your holiness and your discipline, and how you are faithful to us while we suffer. How you're faithful to us in your discipline, how you're faithful to us in your blessing. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're faithful to enable us and empower us and give us victory over sin, and power over temptation. I want to pray for our church today, everyone present in this room. And I ask you, God, that as they got a glimpse this morning of your faithfulness, oh, Lord, would you please encourage their hearts that even if they've been unfaithful to you and to others, you will not deny yourself and turn your back on them. I pray, Lord, that they would just humble themselves and just lean into you and trust that you are faithful to your word and your promises, that when we confess our sin, you are faithful and you are just and you will forgive us our sin and you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for that kind of faithfulness. Help us to trust you, Lord, that you never leave us or forsake us. Help us to trust that you will provide for every one of our needs. Oh God, as we close with some worship, I pray that just out of the wellspring of our souls, we would worship. Not out of our feelings, because some of us, Lord, we don't want to, we don't feel like it. And our minds sometimes are distracted. I'm just praying, Lord, that you would help us now to worship you in spirit and truth from our soul, just to celebrate who you are. We love you. Strengthen us by these words and help us to live faithfully and lean into your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen.